Good afternoon, Packers fans. Aaron Nagler here with your Packers Daily Chat, coming to you live on the Cheesehead TV, social channels. Happy New Year, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, whoever you're with. Hope you're having a good time, being safe, and watching these college football playoffs. This Texas ASU game is absolutely bananas. I'm sure some of you are watching as we chat here. I had it on, had to turn it off when it went to overtime because I had to be ready to talk to you fine folks, Packers fans worldwide. That's what we do here at Cheesehead TV. Which obviously includes bringing you all the latest on the green and gold. And the big headline today, I'm sure most of you know and have seen, Jaire Alexander, his season is essentially over after having surgery earlier this week on that right knee with the PCL tear. Had to go in there and clean things up due to some swelling and pain he was dealing with. I know there was an initial report from Adam Schefter from ESPN indicating that there was an outside chance that he could possibly return if the Packers got to the Super Bowl. But Tom Silverstein, who I trust implicitly when it comes to the Packers and his sourcing, he indicated that regardless of how the Packers fare in the postseason here, Jaire Alexander will not return this season. So that, you know, obviously brings up the question automatically, especially in my replies on Twitter. Do we think that we've seen the last of Jaire Alexander in a Packers uniform? I think there's a very good possibility that is the case. You never really want to dive into it too much during the season. Got to see what happens over the offseason, especially when you consider, I mean, those words, swelling in the knee. Man, I don't want to compare it to David Bakhtiari, but I got to admit, when Tom Pelissero said those words, swelling in the knee, on NFL Network on Sunday morning, I had a few flashbacks. There ain't no lie. So it does sound like this is much more about having to deal with the repercussions of the injury than the injury itself. I know Xavier McKinney was in the locker room today talking about how Jaire had continued to try and get back out there. And I think you saw that reflected in the practice reports where he was a full participant for a few weeks. But clearly it just never got right. And then we saw his kind of participation trail off. That undoubtedly, you know, was the part of the setback and the dealing with the pain and the swelling to the point where finally it was just deemed it was time to get surgery and end the season. And I know it's frustrating, and I've got lots of people in my mentions and some comments here regarding why didn't they do this before? Well, clearly they thought, and he thought, he could get back out on the field at some point without needing the surgery. And whatever he was doing, at some point, he either re-aggravated, re-injured, and or did something else to cause that, you know, pain in his knee and the swelling. And finally, push came to shove, and it was time to shut it down. It's supremely frustrating. I get that. I mean, not just for the fan base, but I got to imagine it's insanely frustrating for Jaire himself. We'll see what transpires this offseason. I know people are already asking, will they trade him? Will they cut him? I don't think anybody can say that with 100% certainty at this point. I do think they could potentially cut him. I think that is a possibility. But I don't think anyone will know or even begin to know those answers until we get into the offseason itself. Hello to everybody in the comment section. So good to see everybody. Hope you're all doing well. Give a shout out to our good friends over at Prize Picks. Prize Picks is daily fantasy sports made easy. You just select two or more players, pick more or less on their projected stats, and place your entry. Quick withdrawals, easy gameplay, and an enormous selection of players and stat types are what make Prize Picks the number one daily fantasy sports app. Go to prizepicks.com, use code CHTV, spend $5 on lineups, and get $50 instantly. Prize Picks is available in 43 different states, most importantly, including Wisconsin. Head to the link in the description of this video. Again, use code CHTV. Send me your lineups. Have some fun with Prize Picks. What's going on, folks? How we doing? Ryan starting us off with a somber super chat. Prayers for the victims and their families of the terror attack in NOLA. Yeah, shocking news to wake up to this morning. I won't go on at length here about it, but shocking stuff. No question about it. I'm glad they made the decision to move the Sugar Bowl. Crazy that my girlfriend is actually down in New Orleans right now, and she was talking about stuff she was kind of seeing in the local news and things that were transpiring throughout the city. It's really scary stuff. no doubt about it. I'm glad, like I said, that they move the bowl game till tomorrow, try and shore up things in that area. Simatovic, what's going on, man? Thanks for Super Chat. Days like today make me feel blessed to be here. Very blessed, John. Very blessed. It's New Year's Day, man. Revel in it. Don Vito, thanks for the Super Chat, man. Jair gave us good memories, but he's done in Green Bay. Decent chance. I'm not going to deny it. There's a decent chance. Soder, thanks for the Super Chat, man. Bad luck, or do the Packers need to fully evaluate how they deal with knee injuries? I don't think it's that. I think every player and every injury is different. I know, like I said, it feels similar to Bakhtiari, right? But I do think some of it is the player himself. Some of it is the type of injury. A PCL traditionally would shut guys down. So I was surprised that Jair was going to try and play through it and try and get through it after, you know, we saw the attempt in Chicago. But yeah, I don't know. I have a hard time thinking that either of those situations between Bakhtiari or Jair is somehow due to the approach the Packers took. I have a hard time believing that. Now, obviously, it's really impossible for us to say, given we don't have anything close to the medical information, and they do. So it's, yeah, that's just not a angle that I would feel comfortable taking. What else we got here, folks? Of course, this is a popular sentiment online. He's played only one full season since signing that huge contract. Time to move on. I totally get that. I get that feeling and the frustration. And I do think that might be shared somewhere, you know, somehow internally in 1265 Lombardi. So I, you know, never want to say, oh, this guy doesn't want to play, because I think Jair trying to play through the injury that eventually he needed surgery for tells you, and his teammates talking about how he kept trying to get back out there, just kept tweaking it. I think that tells you his desire to play. Right. But it is supremely frustrating when you have a premier player who you have paid top dollar and you can't get him on the field. And I do think, yeah, that could very well potentially be the driver in a release this offseason. What we got here? Bud, I hope Williams can play. Yeah, we got our first kind of estimated injury report earlier this afternoon, and he was still a DNP, so we'll see if he progresses throughout the week, but I'm not holding my breath on that one. Don Vito, thanks again, man. Random Packer, Rasul Douglas. Get it? I'm sad, LOL. Be nice to have him now, wouldn't it? No question about it. It's unfortunate. I was not a fan of that trade when it happened. I somewhat understand the reasoning, but was not a fan then, and I'm certainly not a fan now that we need him. What else we got here, folks? What if Goody wanted to bring Buda Baker to a winning team that's in the playoff picture? Well, Daryl, he can't do it this year. And I doubt very much that he would, you know, do anything this offseason in that regard, especially after revamping the safety room the way he did last offseason. Richard. This is an understandable super chat, or not a chat, sorry. After using first round picks and big salaries on Gary and LVN, would another first round edge rusher fix things? I think, look, you don't take a guy, you don't not take a guy wherever the Packers end up landing in the pecking order, so to speak, in the draft. And if there's far and away the best player on their board is an edge rusher, I don't see them not taking him. That's a premium position. Tackle, corner, edge rusher, you're almost always going to take that, you know, pull that trigger in the first round if you're Green Bay. Now, I would understandably, I would be ready for fans to be like, what the hell, how many draft picks do we need like at that position, etc. But it is so important, and it can change games, and it can clearly improve your defense for a team that desperately needs to be able to get home with four and is, at the moment, unable to do so with any kind of regularity. I would understand that kind of move. Brody, what's up, man? More likely to see a splash move, edge or corner? Are you talking about off-season moves, Brody? Because I don't see any kind of splash being made the remainder of this season, but I'm assuming you mean in the offseason. I would suspect corner is going to get the kind of treatment that we saw the safety group get last year. That would be my suspicion. What else we got here, folks? I'm so happy that we have Vikings fans in here trolling the chat, because that just means we get their engagement. So I thank you for your service, and we appreciate the engagement, the money we make off the ads, everything you do for our analytics. Appreciate you. Thanks, Vikings fans. Aaron, this will be a popular topic subject. I discussed it a little bit at the start. Do you think 23 is done in Green Bay, or is he back next year? If I had to guess, I think he's gone. But that's all it is a guess. Chuck, why is it called 3-4 when it's really 5-2? Oh, man, that's an off-season discussion. But, I mean, essentially, those edge rushers are stand-up players, and they are considered linebackers, even though now in the parlance of the modern time, they're just called edge, right? But back in the day, they were linebackers. At least that's what they were coined as. Michael says, corner should have been the number one pick in this past draft. I understand the desire to look back like that. And look, you're talking to someone who was maybe not pounding the table, but I did say on a number of occasions I thought corner was a pretty significant need because of the fact that you had Jair constantly getting hurt. You had Stokes coming off of so many injuries, and you had a former seventh round pick in Valentine as your kind of number two corner in that, you know, scenario if one of those guys was to get hurt. I just thought, yeah, it's pretty clearly that it should be somewhat of a need. And then post-draft, I said I was surprised that they didn't take a corner. Now, I know Brian and the personnel folks will say you're not going to reach specifically for a group just because it is a need, and their draft board most likely just didn't happen to fall, you know, in such a way that a corner made sense when they were on the clock. And I get that. I understand that. But man, sometimes, maybe every once in a while, you can kind of get outside your comfort zone, maybe make a little bit of a reach. I mean, people thought Hopper was a reach, and they haven't utilized him in any way, shape, or form from scrimmage this year outside of a handful of plays. You know, now look, it's a long-term investment. Who knows what these players do long-term, end up, what their careers look like. But man, you're talking about supplementing a position that you can never have enough talent at. Yeah, corner felt like it kind of got short shrift this offseason, no doubt about it. What else we got? That's a good one. I like this. The last three times Packers have gone 0-2 to the Vikings, Vikings lost in the NFC Championship. I know one of those was most likely when they lost to the Giants. I mean, they got their asses handed to them, and that was one of the most fun nights I've ever had here in New York City. I mean, I was watching with a bunch of Giants fans, and I was headed into that game pretty sure that the Vikings were going to win. And then to watch the Giants absolutely destroy them, that was a beautiful night. That was a beautiful night. Eric, there's a very easy answer to this question. Aaron, you think we draft a corner in the draft, get a corner in the draft, or sign someone? Yes, Eric, I think all avenues will be open this offseason. Much like safety, I think they're going to look at every avenue to improve the talent floor at that position group. What else we got, folks? Nags, would you anticipate some starters sitting next Sunday? No. LaFleur indicated this afternoon they are not going to be resting starters. They're going to play and play to win. Now, obviously, if guys are dealing with an injury, something that has been on the injury report and maybe bothering them and they're trying to come back from, those people will most likely sit, right? But the likes of Jordan Love, Josh Jacobs, etc., you can expect to see them out there. And I get it. You want to... You know, I talked with Billy about this on the radio yesterday. A object in motion stays in motion. So that's, to my eyes, that's good. That's a good way of thinking. You want to be playing better ball than you were playing in Minnesota, you know, heading into the playoffs, getting out there, putting out hopefully a much better performance against what still, especially on offense, against a defense that still has a lot of talent and still plays well in Chicago. So I do think there's I understand the thinking behind it. And Matt also addressed the fact that obviously if someone were to get hurt, or if they have a poor performance, or any number of factors kind of play out, he'll be damned if he does, damned if he doesn't. People will call it the wrong decision. It's only the right decision if it works out, you know, and I again, completely understand that. Stanley, hey, Nice. Do you think we need to add a vet cornerback in the playoffs? I mean, it would be nice, but I don't think there's a bunch of corners with starting experience just hanging around waiting to get picked up. Maybe Tremont Williams is available. I kid. I think this is your team. The group they've got is the group they're going to roll with, most likely. I mean, the only way they would do that if it was someone that knew the scheme very well or had been kind of stopped along the road of Halfley's career, like around San Francisco, the Browns, etc., and knew the scheme and the checks and everything, because you're going to have to throw him in there. He's going to have to know the defense, you know, and this defense is an amalgamation of those defenses. It's not even the same thing. So I just think that would be unlikely. Ralph, what's up, man? Tell LaFleur his opponents might play man coverage in case he might not be prepared. Man, I've been saying it in this microphone all week. The last two games against the Vikings and the Lions should tell you teams are going to play a ton of man against the Packers going forward, because it is, you know, they have to prove they can do it. They got to prove they can be productive if teams are going to get up in their grill and be physical with them at the line of scrimmage and then play grabby coverage downfield. I mean, the Vikings, it's all over the tape. They were very content to kind of test the waters early as far as how much can we get away with. And then when they saw they could grab guys pretty much all over the field, they did it. Now, they took a penalty or two, but for the most part, I'm not saying that's like bad. I think that's really smart. They knew what they could get away with, and they did it all game long, and the Packers never adjusted to it. I mean, not really. I think Bo Melton did pretty well, and I think Wicks did. But, yeah, and we saw something very similar in Detroit. So the Packers got to get ready for it, because I think that is going to be on the menu for the rest of this season. Walter, what's up, man? I'm prepared for a lot of your no posts on X. Yep, they are coming once the offseason starts. No question about it. God, all that was great. What else we got here, folks? Is the Jets old coach still helping Matt? Yes, Joshua, he is. He is not in town every week, but he is in and out of town. Robert Saleh and Matt LaFleur are as close as you can be to anybody working in the same profession. They are very old friends, and Saleh is on staff, and he has a contract with the Packers, and he does do tape study and give suggestions from a defensive perspective on what he sees with the Packers offense. He is officially helping on the offensive side of the ball. Saleh can play corner. Hey, I mean, throw him out there, right? Let's go. I love this. I'm tired of talking. It's belt to ass time. All right. Well, a good place to start is on Sunday against the Bears and getting Caleb Williams on his ass on the Lambeau Field turf. That is what's got to happen. MH, what's up? Where has Luke Musgrave been? I thought he was practicing. He's played the last two games. He hasn't played a ton, but he's played. He's been out there. They are obviously easing him in. I don't think they were ever going to do, let him hit the field and play 80% of the snaps. He's coming back from a significant ankle injury. So, yeah, he's played the last 2 weeks. I would suspect he'll probably see more time this Sunday, especially hopefully if the game starts out the way they want it to and they get somewhat of a lead, you know. I think you'll see him out there more just to get him into the groove of playing. And then hopefully we get to see him a lot more in the playoffs. So what took so long to get the surgery then? Someone who has just joined the chat. Ultimately, they thought, and obviously Jair thought, he could play through it. Eventually, that he would be able to go without surgery. And it looks like, if you're looking at the injury reports, like they did reach a spot where he was kind of close, right? You saw those full participation weeks at practice. But then clearly there was some kind of setback, some kind of issue, because then the pain started, the swelling started, and that's when you saw his participation dwindle. And then obviously all parties got together and said, all right, let's shut it down. You know, the problem is, especially with knee injuries, it's not like a broken bone. With a PCL tear, you know, there's gradation, there's pain management, there's lots of different things that go into it. It's not easy, as easy as, well, the bone's broken, we got to let it heal. You know, we have the surgery gets done and we're on to the next. You know, if there's a chance of staying out there, obviously Jair wanted to try. And I think the Packers were more than content to let him, given that it looked like he was progressing. And he clearly had a setback. Larry says, I want to see Musgrave go deep on play one. As long as he keeps his feet. That's what I want to see. It me, what's up? Everyone complaining about Morgan being drafted in the first round. He was the starting right guard before getting injured. He was. That's right. Now, obviously, I think it was pretty clear that the Packers kind of inserted him into that role, and he was splitting time at times with Sean Ryan for a while. And I think Sean Ryan has played a hell of a year and is going to make things difficult in a good way next offseason when they're kind of shaking out the offensive line. But I agree. I think Kid was playing well and showed improvement from the summer through the regular season. I don't ever, ever have a problem with investing in the offensive line, wherever that occurs, especially when you've just paid your quarterback a ton of money. Like, I'll never be upset about that selection. I get why other people are. Tyler, thanks for the super sticker. Appreciate you, man. Do I think they call Patrick Peterson now? I doubt it. I very much doubt it, but crazier shit has happened, but that really doesn't feel like the Packers' way of operating. Now, that said, there were a couple of things that happened this summer that I didn't think were going to happen in regards to the cutting of Carlson, bringing in Malik Willis, cutting their backups from that had played all summer. I mean, those were pretty not normal Packers type moves. So who knows? Maybe they make that call. But again, I doubt it. And you would have to get him up to speed on your defense pretty damn quickly. DeGene is about to be the reason Packers get destroyed. Like, do you like the Packers? He's one player. And again, there's nothing wrong with investing along the offensive line. And the offensive line looks the same. You know why? Because it has depth. Because they invest in it. Thank you for proving the point. Your service is appreciated. A lot of doom and gloom regarding the Packers' chances in the playoffs. They're nobody's underdogs. Let's see if they can knock some teams out. We've seen it happen to the Packers before. Yes, we have. We most certainly have. Tony, not even close. Negative Packers fans are probably the worst in the NFL. Nah, man, I've seen 10 times worse. Trust me. All right, buddy, I'm going to have to get going. Cannot thank you enough for hanging out, talking Packers each and every day, Monday through Friday, right here on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Please do me a monster favor and hit like, hit subscribe. I mean, I got to say, I cannot thank you guys enough. All of you who have subscribed, the last kind of week to 10 days has been insane. We've really kind of taken off. I think the Donald Driver live stream really kickstarted things. But man, thank you. Hit subscribe, because we are approaching 100,000 subscribers here on Cheesehead TV, which I got to admit, I never thought would happen. So it's been pretty crazy. Thank you. Please hit subscribe, hit notifications, turn them on so you know when we're live. And then tell your friends and tell your family, Cheesehead TV, we are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great night. Happy New Year. Go Pack, go.